This is a reading from the Epistle of 2 Peter, the first chapter. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. He has given us every great and precious promise. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, and to all of that, brotherly, sisterly kindness. If you possess that, you will be a viable witness to the world. Reading of God for the people of God. So, it's like a little bit of Mr. Rogers' room, doesn't it? And God's holy flirtation with the world, it's like He drops handkerchiefs once in a while and we call them saints. And I think the Mr. Rogers we're celebrating during these 4 weeks together was one of those handkerchiefs. I know Keith did a good job last week saying that his formative years were kind of ordinary. However, somewhere along the line, his extraordinary love for God, for neighbor, for children, led him to do extraordinary things. I think this is an interesting kind of response. They came to him one day and said, Fred, like when you do all these shows, what are you thinking about? Who are you focusing upon? Who are you aiming your whole message to? And he said, well, it's certainly not the camera, and it's not a room big, vast, with a lot of nameless children. It's always just one child. Sometimes it'll be a girl, sometimes it'll be a boy. Just one child, maybe 5, maybe 6 years old. And I know that child is filled with hopes, but also fears, and some days are going to be a little hard. So here's one thing I've always been determined to do. Every time the camera rolls, I want to say something, do something that's filled with kindness. So interesting to me. It wasn't just the children. You talk and listen to the people, his coworkers, the camera folks, the makeup artists, all that. And they said, no. He was a walking, breathing bundle of kindness. One of his co-workers said this. He said, you know, Fred was an ordained Presbyterian minister. And if somebody came to Fred and said, you got one sermon you could preach. He said, I think Fred would have said, it's going to be a 3-point sermon. Be kind, be kind, be kind. Where did all that come from? Well, the more you delve into his story, you know that he had a long obedience in the same direction, trying to figure out what it was to be a follower of Jesus. And in that, he found that that following was cloaked with kindness. You can hear it in this little epistle, 2 Peter. It's an interesting little book. It's just 3 chapters. We call it a general epistle. It wasn't written to one church in particular, one singular address. It was kind of just sent out to the church as it was in that time. This is during Emperor Nero. And he was coming down on the Christians really hard. This is the persecution. Many of them were fed to the lions, hung upside down. But then the writer says, live with hope. Just remember, God has given us every promise. Not always everything we want, but everything we need to live abundantly. And then he gets very practical. He says, you know, don't stop working at your faith, okay? He says, I know times are hard. Don't stop. He said, let your faith grow into goodness and goodness to patience and patience to self-control and to perseverance and to knowledge. Then at the top of that kind of stair-step pyramid, he says, the loving kindness of our Lord. Isn't that something? Here they are in a time where all these principalities and powers are moving upon them, and he wants to talk about kindness. Well, yes, and that's what we're going to do today because of Mr. Rogers, because of the scriptures. How do I feel about that? Well, I was a little relieved when Keith and I were talking. I said, okay, this week is going to be a focus on kindness. That's a pretty non-controversial subject. I don't know many preachers have gotten in trouble preaching on kindness. How do you feel about it? Well, you might say this could be just a 10-minute sermon, right? I mean, it's a good subject, but it's pretty simple. It's straightforward. When I say the word kindness, you know what I'm talking about. Persistent, untiring, thoughtful concern for others. Yeah, Kindness is not a bad thing at all. It's pleasant and it's practical. Kindness not only says good morning, but kindness fixes the coffee or clears the dishes. And kindness is, it can be done so quietly. You can just be a motion of the hand to let somebody into the traffic line or invite a woman with her three children in front of you at the checkout line. But you know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about kindness. Sometimes we're kind, sometimes we're not, but that's kindness. So how do we feel about this? I don't know. Maybe it's, you don't think of it as the most profound of subjects. I think we like to rate things, you know, heavyweight, middleweight, lightweight. Maybe kindness is down there between the middleweight and the lightweight. I don't know. I don't know. The older I get, I'm not sure what's heavy and what's light and what's large and what's small. Maybe I'm being confessional because most of my days are not big red letter days. You know this pop culture. We have a lot of these little pop wisdom writings, aphorisms. You know how they go. Here's one. Don't sweat what? That's right, small stuff. Don't make mountains out of what? The molehills. Here's the problem with a lot of these aphorisms. There's a kernel of truth there, but if you push on too hard, they don't hold water. Now just pause for a moment. Think of the people who, some of them who have meant the most to you. Timely, they have sweated the details of your birthday or knowing the name of your children. The molehills, isn't that where we write most of our story? There was this philosopher named Plutarch. And Plutarch said, if you want to know the real character of a person, don't tell me how many ships have been launched, how many books have been written, how many battles have been won. He said, show me the trivial incident, and I'll show you the true revelation of character. Isn't that where kindness is played out in the trivial, ordinary incidents and occurrences of our life? So yes, Fred Rogers would be more than glad to talk about kindness, and so would our author. And you know, maybe they knew it's so easy and so distracting to always imagine ourselves being in significant places, playing through large events, doing noticeable things for God. Now, certainly Fred Rogers played a lot of his life on that stage. How many college commitments addresses did he give? He brought testimony before the halls of Congress. But I think Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers would say, be careful that by such imaginings, you miss the next step, the next encounter, the next person. Remember what he said when he went about every show? He thought about one person there in front of. I'm going to suggest this is a definition for kindness. Kindness is the morality of the next encounter, the next person. Charles Sumner was a senator during the Civil War, a good friend of Julia Ward Howe. You remember her. She was a hymn writer, an abolitionist, and she comes to Sumner one day and says, you know, one of our colleagues is having a really hard time. Charles, I want you to go with me and see him. And Charles said, no, I can't do that. And she said, why? She said, well, you know, with all these swirling large events playing upon us, I'm just no longer interested in individuals. And she turned to him and said, oh, Charles, not even God has ever gotten to that point. Kindness is all about individuals. It's one by one, one moment at a time, one meeting at a time, one person at a time. I know, it's not flashy, it's not showy and spectacular, but it's the common ground upon which a lot of uncommon qualities are built. We need to talk about it because, well, that was a part of Fred's story. That's coming from our writer. And then I like what our writer Peter said, real reason to talk about it, it's grounded in Jesus. Over in his first letter, he had this little sentence. He said, you have tasted the kindness of our Lord. Yes, every time we take communion, we taste the kindness, the body and the wine, bread. But also it's in what we saw in him, how he lived and how he played out his life. Those who were nearest to him and closest to him in the following, they knew that he showed that God was cloaked in kindness. I loved this one moment in Capernaum. Oh, it was such a window to who Jesus was. They were moving about, and it was an unbelievable crowd. It looked like a Calcutta train station. You know, it's so bustling. You're being moved by the crowd rather than your own volition. And all of a sudden, Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And you feel like, you know, the disciples must say, "What do you mean, who touched you?" Jesus, dozens of people could have touched you. But he stopped. And this is just like Jesus. He turned his attention from the many to the one. He called one woman. And she was the one that had touched him. And she was hemorrhaging. She had this chronic condition. Not only was it physically debilitating, but it left her ostracized in the community. He stopped. He responded to her touch with his touch. It was a healing touch, but it doesn't stop there. This is what it says. He stayed, and he was on his way to somewhere else. He said he stayed, and he listened to her story, and then the scripture goes on. He said, not just her story, but her whole story. And then it goes on one step further. I imagine she talked about it later. She said, you know what he called me? He turned to me and called me daughter. Okay. His touch healed her, but kindness, you see, kindness honored her, gave her her dignity back. You know, we talk about Jesus, his passion, his devotion, his power. Maybe we don't talk enough about his kindness. You know what he said one day? He turned to whoever was listening and says, you know what I really desire? I desire your kindness. I desire that more than all these pretentious animal sacrifices you're bringing to the temple. Kindness is pleasant, it's practical, powerful. You and I can attest to that. We all have stories to tell. It wasn't this Christmas before, Christmas Eve. So at that point, I was kind of one foot over in Asheville, living in an apartment, one foot over here, and always going back and forth. I was something of an itinerant, always had boxes and bags of books and clothes, and now it's Christmas time, and I had a bunch of it, all sitting out right in front of the, it was kind of an unruly stack of things sitting there. I was going to get them into the van and move them all around, and this man came down the corridor. I've seen him before. I guess maybe we had nodded at each other in the parking lot, but he said, "Hey, neighbor, you got quite a load there. Can I give you a hand?" My first response was, "No, I got it." But no, I thought, you know, I really could use a hand. I said, sure. So the two of us got together and we started taking all this. And being two of us, we made pretty quick work of putting it all in the van. We got to the van and he had smiled the first time he spoke to me. Now he smiled again. I reached out his hand. He says, "My name is Bill." I said, "My name is Rob." And he said, "Merry Christmas, Rob." Okay, I don't want to over-dramatize the moment. He didn't fix something I couldn't fix for myself or solve the unsolvable. But I remember getting into the van, and I was smiling on the inside and the outside. It was over a year ago. And you know what? That's still down there in my bank of memories. It's still there. Being savored. Kindness is a beautiful thing. Steps up and steps out. Says, "Stranger, who are no stranger, I wish you well." Frederick Buechner said, "Kindness is certainly not all there is to holiness, but it is the door through which holiness enters the world." It's such a powerful thing once we begin to get in the rhythm of it. I begin to discover there's no such thing. It's a minor or a useless meeting, especially with another human being. Everyone is a chance to be a door to holiness. It's called kindness. One final thing I want to say. When we talk about gospel-sized kindness, when we set it in the context that 2 Peter was doing in the story of Jesus, it's a pretty controversial subject, to be honest with you. So I really misspoke in the beginning. Because when Jesus gets a hold of the idea of kindness, well, man, it's as wide can be. You know, he challenged the boundaries we put around these transactional kind of ways of relating to each other. He said, here's the way people tend to do it. Who are you going to be good to? Be good to the people that are good to you. Be kind to the people that are kind to you. Jesus, where's the grace in that? How's that going to change the world? Don't you know that God is kind to the unkind? He's kind to the ungrateful. That's the way you're going to change the world. But also, Jesus is always tearing down those dividing walls we put between one group and another group. Look at what it's doing to our world right now, all the enmity and the hostilities. The Jesus way of seeing people was different. He wasn't into adjectives like male, female, Greek, Jew, slave, free. He was more into the determinative nouns, human being, child of God. He believed every time we meet another person, we are meeting with the person that God wanted that person to be. And God would say the same thing about us. So here we are, all connected, brotherliness, sisterliness. And once we see people through the Jesus eyes, every person's worthy of our kindness. I'm going to end with this because I think it shows the far reach of gospel-sized kindness. It's probably one of the most iconic moments in Mr. Rogers' many years on TV. It goes back to Francois Cone, who was a black man, and he had been invited to take the role of Officer Clemens. So when he first heard that that was going to be his part, and he kind of auditioned for it, he said, neighborhood I grew up in, the police folks weren't always looked on as the friendly ones. But his mother said, Francois, look, how many black men do you even see on TV? Remember, this is in the 1960s. She said, you can be a help to a lot of black children. And Francois said to Fred Rogers, I'm not going to do it if I have to give up singing. And Fred Rogers says, Francois, that's when I fell in love with you. I knew you were the right person because you weren't going to kiss my you-know-what to get a part in the show. All right. They became good friends. They became fast friends. But here comes the moment. I just want you to picture the scene, late 1960s. It was the South I grew up in. High school I graduated from, just one black person by my senior year. Isn't that something? So some of the walls were coming down, and it was in Montgomery, Alabama. And there was a group of black children that were swimming for the first time in a swimming pool that had previously never been integrated. And this is a chilling scene. You can see in the documentary. Somebody captured, you can tell it's one of these little 8mm cameras, black and white. And you see this angry, angry man, both hands filled with these containers. And he's pouring acidic, toxic chemicals into the pool. And you see black children getting out, screaming. That was the scene. When the show opened the next week, here's the picture. Mr. Rogers, oh, good old Mr. Rogers, same old Mr. Rogers. He's not on some stump giving some big speech, but he's got a little swimming pool, just a little baby pool there in the backyard. And he's taking off his shoes, and along comes Officer Clemens. And Mr. Rogers says, Officer Clemens, wouldn't you like to put your feet and just cool them off in the pool with me? And Officer Clemens said, well, yes, but I don't have a towel. And Mr. Rogers says, no problem. I got a pool, I got water, and I have a towel. And then there's this picture. It's an iconic picture. The two of them, both with their feet and that water, one with the pool, one with the water, and one with each other. And the people that were there that day, film crew, the other folks that were in the room, they said, the entire room fell silent. It was like the ground became holy ground. Yes, it was a statement of speaking against any barriers, especially ugly racial barriers. But do you also catch that it was cloaked in kindness? Mr. Rogers, I don't have a towel. Oh, I have a towel. Mr. Rogers says, you know, it's been a hot day, hasn't it? You're a policeman. You've been on those feet for 8 or 9 hours, and those dogs must be tired. I'm sure they'd like a cool dip in water. I don't know what else to call that, but kindness. You've tasted the kindness of the Lord, Peter wrote in his letter. It's the kindness, the holiness, the sainthood, and sanity that all of us are called to. It's a great feeling in the air when it happens. That one way or another, we are all here to give to each other our love and give God our love. The kind moment itself is a door that holiness enters through. May it enter you, may it enter me, to the world saving. Amen.